Thank you for tuning into the EY UK and Ireland Workforce Matters podcast, which covers various business issues surrounding global mobility, talent and HR. This podcast series will take a deeper look into digital transformation and how it relates to culture, diversity, inclusion and leadership. In today's episode, we're joined by a panel of EY specialists, Angela Rickson, who leads on transformation, Bonnie Austin, who leads on culture, Sean Scantlebury, who heads up our sustainable business practice, and Chris McCormack, who heads up our learning and leadership practice. In each episode, we will pose a question to the panel that our clients have been asking us about recently. So today we're asking the panel, what is the right recipe to accelerate growth? Angela, if you'd like to kick off.
I think that's really interesting because as we're coming out of a period of austerity over the past 3 years, you know, there's been a massive focus on cost efficiency and using technology to really reduce cost and also headcount. But that's changing now and the shift is towards growth. So that requires more of a growth mindset and thinking about how organisations can now create sustainable growth and not fall into the trap of just focusing on short-term revenue if that can't be maintained over the long term. So from there, I think it's about organisations thinking about how they really need to survive and thrive going forward and how they can be faster and more effective than their competition. And the term that I've been using a lot around this and clients are using is about becoming more agile and agile in its broadest sense as an organization. So that means about having faster product to market times, being able to incubate new ideas quickly, and really balancing value with quality and pace. And thinking about the workforce perspective is, you know, what does that mean from a talent point of view? How can everybody support growth, not just those in dedicated sales roles? You know, how can an organisation empower its people to really understand customers more intimately and empower employees to make decisions close to the customer, not feel that they need to wait for, you know, management decision around a customer requirement? And it's about creating an environment where people can create new ideas. So, you know, there's lots of tech now that can actually help you do that. There's ideas generation platforms. And I think that's really interesting in terms of how ideas can be generated across the organization. And, you know, there's a huge impact in terms of culture. How do you move from a cost control culture to something which is more expansive around growth?
Thanks, Angela. There's loads in there, that mix around growth. And from a leadership perspective, where I'm really going to focus here around our new generation, Generation Z. I'm really going to take a lens on that one to answer this question. I really feel leaders need to tap into the Generation Z aspirations as a key part of overall digital transformation. I don't think it's something that we do enough of now, and I think it's going to be something that's really going to shape the future. So there's a number of different factors to those that came before Generation Z that you've touched upon. They've learned from millennials' mistakes. Generation Z are different for a variety of different reasons. They're more self-starting, they're more self-aware, they're more realistic. And leaders in the workplace therefore face that challenge of having to adapt and think differently if they're to attract and retain this vital pool of fresh young talent. Our new talent have grown up watching their parents struggle with the fallout of the 2008 financial crash. The siblings graduated with huge university debt. There's been no promise of careers related to their area of study, not to mention the low chances of being able to find their footing in the property ladder. In a climate where the skills to succeed are continually evolving, this means working in jobs which provide opportunities to continue growing and developing the skills which will make them versatile enough to adapt to the changes around them. We're seeing that now. We're going to see even more of it. Generation Z employees are likely to be a driving force in bringing companies into this digital age, which means employers will have to find ways to let their natural tech-savvy new employees help guide their organisations into an ever more tech-reliant world. We don't do it enough. With a focus on the future, they're looking for employers who offer career growth. who will invest in them and provide that security that has become so scarce in recent years. And part of this means developing a deep trust between the employer, employee, and the senior leadership teams. As generational divides become even more apparent throughout organisations, and again, we all have seen this, having leaders who can relate to the unique challenge and experience of younger employees seems more important now than ever.
You know, Chris, you talk about trust, and I think that's a really important topic. When I think about, as somebody who's not in Generation Z, to my regret, when I think about Generation Z, what I think is really about sort of inspiration. And I don't think we talk about trust enough. I don't think we talk about inspiration enough either. And certainly from what I've seen around the thought leadership around Generation Z, they are a group of people who are looking to be inspired more than engaged. And actually there's a lot of untapped potential in finding ways to inspire them. And thinking about the role that tech can play in this, I think we can really learn a lot from the role that digital has played in us being able to personalize customer experience and how that can be moved towards the world of employee experience. And indeed, there's a real burgeoning market in human capital technologies, which enable us to make better decisions around our people. And I think by repurposing these technologies and really thinking about personalized employee experience, organizations will be able to identify even more effective ways of tapping into the benefits of enhanced employee experience, engagement, and as I say, really inspiration. Understanding that there are sort of limits to monetary levers in getting the best out of people, I think really challenges us to think about what improved performance can be delivered through intangibles, and where intangibles will play a role in organisations to enhance returns on their investment in human capital. That's where I think we will see the most differential impact on growth, is in really tapping into those unique elements which really get people to not just get out of bed in the morning, but really perform in a way that they feel they're inspired to be their best.
Sean, everything you've just said makes me feel really quite excited about the future. But I think we also really need to remember that creating innovative solutions and the underpinning cultural movements that we've talked about a lot, when organisations are so focused on operational excellence and driving efficiency, is a real challenge. However, of course, designing and creating effective business strategies and the workplaces and teams to deliver them does require that innovation and the ability to design experiences that are optimized not just for the organization, but also for the employees' needs. And we've talked a lot about creating human-centered experiences and leveraging the principles of human-centered design. So I think that the thing that really lingers in my mind from this conversation, which I put forward as a bit of a provocation, really, is that human-centered design is something, it's a way of thinking and a way of designing that has been around for a really long time. And many, many companies use that approach to design many of the products and services that we use every day. Think about the smartphone, that's a perfect example. It's a really easy thing to get behind and a really easy thing to invest in, therefore, if you're creating something for customers or something that you believe is going to have some financial, tangible value for your company or for your organization. However, what we're talking about is using human-centered design to support the underpinning human employee experience. And that's harder for us to do. It's harder for organizations to invest in because it's less tangible. The return on that investment is less tangible. But I think that it might be in that where you might find the recipe to accelerate growth.
Great. Thanks, Bonnie. I think this has been a really interesting discussion in terms of balancing between, you know, a strong focus on operational efficiency to more of a growth agenda. And then how do you accelerate that growth? I think Chris made a really interesting point about really tapping into younger talent and really thinking about how we can unlock the potential in that part of the population and do more around it. And then, you know, Sean's point around trust, and actually, you know, if that population is really looking for trust, but actually more than that, about inspiration from their leadership, you know, what can that do in terms of unlocking new value streams to really accelerate growth? We've had the discussion around, you know, what's the role of technology, and that how it's been very much focused around customer. But there's a sense now and a new shift to moving to employee experience and really understanding how human capital technology can enhance that employee experience, and that there's a monetary lever here, which is about trying to look at how the intangible value does have a role as part of that wider sort of monetary levers. And then where, you know, Bonnie was saying, you know, back to the growth versus operational excellence, you know, it's fundamentally, it depends on your business strategy and that you've got your workplace and teams to support that. So in order to deliver that, it's really about designing those experiences.